truth to garner more power or position while belittling her rival or her former friend. Part of the helplessness experienced by the victim is the inability to repair the breach and set the record straight. Any effort to do so looks defensive. Any failure to mount a defense looks weak. It's a superb bind that feels a lot like you're twisting on the end of a skewer. Even when betrayal is not deep, it still brings harm, and we often fail to take into account the mounting toll of many daily betrayals. For a pastor, it is the couple who leaves the church after 5 years of involvement. When asked why, they hem and haw and say, "Well, the preaching just doesn't move us like it did. We really need to go somewhere where we are better fed." Pastors are told they have to develop thick skin but keep a tender heart. Yeah, and leprechauns are waiting to offer expert counsel on winning lottery numbers. Anyone in leadership knows that critique, even when it's meant to help, stings like salt in a wound. At times, even the rebuke of an enemy can be the very word of God, but it still sears and wounds us. Betrayal lies at the root of many leadership crises. Loneliness. There's an old saying in Washington, D.C., if you want a friend, get a dog. Few people will ever have a lifelong soulmate, and leadership makes friendships even more perilous. After all, most people who serve in formal leadership have the power to alter another person's work. Each of us is highly invested in our work, and few friendships can endure one person having more power than the other. Even more so, when the power is used to alter a person's work in a way that feels injurious, only one in a billion can prevent the unequal power and authority in the work setting from affecting a friendship. The data are fairly clear about those at the top of the organizational chart. The higher you are, the more rarefied.